Yeah. Yo, step into the ring where the stories get raw. Junkyard James spitting truth, no flaw. Beyond the junkyard, the tales collide. Wrestling's wild side, come and take the ride. Chairs fly, ropes snap, legends unfold. Every move, every slam, the drama is gold. From the underground brawls to the title fights, we break it all down under spotlight nights. Beyond the junkyard, where the stories get told. Steel cages, bright lights, the moment's so bold. From the past to the future, the mat stays strong. Junkyard James, keep it real all day long. Tune in, strap up, it's about to get wild. Powerbomb the truth, no sugar, no mild. Every heel, every face, every match that burns. The junkyard delivers, now it's your turn. So hit play, no delay, the bell has rung. Beyond the junkyard, where the legends are sung. Junkyard James got the mic in his grip. Wrestling podcast vibes, now let's take the trip.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome to another Solo Saturday here on the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. I am your host, Junkyard James, and as you already know, we do two shows a week. We do the Thursday live stream with me and my co-host, Cody Marinara, and we just talk through some of the biggest events leading into that week, usually on an AEW kick. Here recently, we've been kind of splitting it between AEW and WWE and giving news from each piece. But we are a majority AEW company or podcast. And so that's our focus. And then on Saturday, I like to do some community stuff. We got Smasher Pass coming up. We have some community conversations. We talk about what the IWC loves to talk about. And that's pro wrestling, and there's some really interesting stories. So buckle up, let's get going, and let's jump right in to the opening segment. Ladies and gentlemen, let's talk about two worlds that can captivate us and thrill us and keep us glued to our seats. So that's pro wrestling and Major League Baseball. See, at first glance, they may seem like distant cousins. One's a sport with a grueling 162-game season, and the other a scripted spectacle of athletic drama. But dig deeper, and you'll see they both wrestle, fully pun intended there, the idea of storytelling. Why doesn't every MLB's team season end with a championship? Fairy tale story. Why doesn't every pro wrestling match need a sprawling month or year long storyline? Buckle up. We're diving into the heart of these questions for the next 10 or so minutes. Let's start with MLB. Let's start with baseball. The MLB is a marathon. It's a 162 game slog that stretches from April into the October chill of the fall. That's 6 months of daily grind. Teams play almost every day, sometimes in the scorching heat, sometimes in chilly October rain. It's a test of endurance, consistency, and sheer will. Now, every team starts with the dream of hoisting the World Series championship. Fans in every city, from Boston to San Diego, Seattle to Atlanta, are thinking, this is our year. But here's the cold hard truth. Not every team gets that championship story. In fact, the majority don't. Why? Because the MLB season isn't built for fairy tales or story. It's built based on attrition. But think about it. With 30 teams and only one can win the World Series, let me give you some Steiner math there. That's a 3.33% chance for any given team to win the World Series. The season's length exposes every flaw. A hot start in April doesn't mean you're destined for glory in October. Teams fade by August, injuries pile up, bullpens blow leads, slumps hit at the worst times. For example, in the 2024 season, the The Los Angeles Dodgers dominated with a stacked roster, but even they had to claw through a brutal postseason to claim the World Series crown. Teams like the Cincinnati Reds or the Colorado Rockies, well, they might have had moments of brilliance, a no-hitter or a walk-off home run, but their seasons didn't end with a parade. Their stories were about growth, grit, or just surviving the grind of the 162-game season. And that's okay. Baseball's beauty is in its reality. Not every season needs a Hollywood ending. Sometimes a story is about a rookie's breakout year, like for the Reds, Elly De La Cruz, or a veteran's farewell tour. A long season ensures that only the truly resilient, truly consistent get to write that championship chapter. Now pivot this into pro wrestling. If baseball is a marathon, then wrestling is a sprint. It's a series of sprints. Explosive, dramatic, designed to pop a crowd. But here's the thing. Not every match needs to have a long term storyline to be meaningful. Wrestling fans, you know what I'm talking about. We love those epic month-long feuds. Think of Stone Cold Steve Austin versus Vince McMahon in the late 1990s, or the Roman Reigns Bloodline saga that carried WWE for the past several years, 5+ years. Those stories build up layer upon layer with betrayals, promos, title changes that can keep us hooked. But does every match need that sort of depth? Nah. Sometimes a banger of a match is just that, a banger of a match. Take some random episode of Monday Night Raw or AEW Dynamite. You might get a match between Rey Mysterio and Dominic Mysterio, which their father-son storyline is pure gold. But what about Rey Mysterio fighting some mid-card heel like JD McDonough? That match doesn't need a 6-month build. Sometimes it's just two guys putting on a show, high-flying spots, near falls, a hot crowd. Wrestling's scripted nature means every match can serve a purpose, even if it's not part of some grand narrative. Maybe it's about showcasing a new talent, like AEW's Konosuke Takeshita stealing the show in a match, or giving the crowd a breather between major angles. Heck, sometimes it's just about filling 10 minutes with a pure athletic spectacle. And that's fine. Not every punch needs to advance a saga. Sometimes it's just about popping the crowd in that moment. And so let's bridge the two worlds together here for a moment. Baseball's long season and wrestling's match-by-match approach can teach us something about storytelling. See, in the MLB, the season's length means you can't fake it. You can't just have a hot week and call it a championship. The 162 games are a crucible, burning away pretenders. Teams like the 2001 Seattle Mariners, who won 116 games but lost in the championship series, prove that even greatness doesn't guarantee a storybook ending. The grind reveals the truth. Your roster's depth, your manager's strategy, your ability to handle a doubleheader in July. Wrestling, on the other hand, thrives on flexibility. A single match can be a self-contained story, like a short film or a chapter in a larger epic. The beauty of wrestling is that it can pivot. John Cena talked about this, that sometimes storylines can pivot within the match. He talked about it just this week, I believe. A random tag team match on a SmackDown might plant a seed for a betrayal 6 months later, or it could just be a fun detour. The scripted nature lets writers decide what matters, unlike baseball, where the outcome is earned through sweat and stats. So here's another angle. Stakes. In baseball, the stakes are cumulative. Every game adds to your record. Every loss stings because it's one step further from October. That's why teams like the 2023 Padres, loaded with stars like Juan Soto and Manny Machado, still miss the playoffs because too many losses piled up. The season doesn't care about your potential. It demands results. And wrestling, the stakes are what you make them. A match might be for a title. It might be for a personal grudge. or it may just be for bragging rights. But not every match needs to carry the weight of a WrestleMania main event. A quick squash match can establish a monster heel like Bron Breakker, while a technical clinic between Daniel Bryan or and Zack Sabre Jr. can just be about who the better grappler is. Wrestling's freedom lies as an ability to make any match matter, with or without a long-term story. Let's talk about pacing real quick. The MLB season forces a slow burn. You can't peak too early. Teams that go all in during the first half often limp into September. The 2024 New York Yankees learned this the hard way. Fading after a strong June, the season rewards patience, like a novelist building to a climax. Wrestling, though, it's more like a TV series with weekly episodes. Some matches are season finales. Think Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 40. Others are mid-season filler. They're there to keep you entertained until the next big plot twist. And that variety keeps wrestling fresh. You don't need every match to be a five-star classic with a year-long backstory, just like you don't need every MLB game to be a playoff clincher. Think about it, folks. They don't talk about, you know, a team right now, halfway through the MLB season, clinching playoff scenarios. That's not the story. Game 82 is not a playoff clincher. There's not that background, that story. The story now is what are the injury concerns? Who was on the IL? We're walking into the All-Star break. Who are the All-Star teams? Who may get traded at the deadline in a month or so? We're not talking about the playoffs yet because we don't need to. So what's the takeaway? Baseball's long season is a relentless truth teller. It strips away illusions and rewards only the strongest narratives. Those teams who survive, whose stories survive the grind. Most teams don't get that championship story arc, but their seasons still matter, whether it's for a young star's rise or for the fan base's hopes. Wrestling, meanwhile, thrives on its ability to tell any story, big or small, in a single night. A match doesn't need a long-term story to slap. Just like a single doesn't need to win the World Series to be a highlight reel moment. Both worlds show us that not every story needs a crown to be worth telling. Sometimes it's just about the journey, the fight, or the roar of the crowd. So whether you're cheering for a ninth inning home run or perfectly executed suplex, remember this. Stories don't need to end in glory to resonate with the crowd. They just need to keep us coming back for more. So let's move on. Let's move on to our baddie of the week segment. While I'm pulling this up, I want to let you know there are four things that I need you to do right now. Comment, like, share, subscribe, hit that notification bell. That way you're notified of every time we go live. Let's go to the baddie of the week. Here we go. I'll tell you again, the submissions are submitted in the baddie Discord server. The first link in the description is the link to the Discord server. Click the link, join the server, be a part of the baddie of the week conversation, be a part of the total conversation. Night of Champions is getting ready to come on. We're going to have a live conversation there in the Discord watching Night of Champions from Saudi Arabia. We'll have live conversations about AEW pay-per-views, especially All In coming up in July. We'll talk about Night of Champions. We'll talk about Women's Evolution. We talk about pro wrestling in general. So join the Discord server there. We're doing the Smasher Pass. And I said on the last episode that it was the most submissions we had ever received, and we got even more this week. So I like the idea that the fans, the people in the Discord are being a little bit more active with participation in this series. For those listening on audio, I would recommend for this piece of the show to go to the visual YouTube version of this, because obviously you can't see the photos through the audio only episode. So, but let's jump into this. Baddie of the week, contender number one, we got Nikki Blackheart. And there was a lot of conversation about Nikki Blackheart in the conversation this week in the Discord about maybe her being too manly or too muscular. And I can concur with some of it. She doesn't look super ultra feminine. I've seen it said not in the Discord, but in another form of social media, that she looks like if Paige or Saraya and Rhea Ripley had a baby and mixed the traits together. She is somewhat attractive, probably a little bit too muscular for, at least in the thighs, for what I am attracted to, but she still gets a smash. I can't deny that. There's a good possibility. It took me a minute to decide this one, and so when I'm having a tough time deciding between a smash or a pass, and it's a really tough choice, I'm going to lean smash, because if I have to think about it longer than the usual 10 to 15 seconds, then I'm thinking about it, and that usually means that there's a possibility that a smash would happen. And so I'll give her a very light smash for Nikki Blackheart. Let's move to the next one. Stephanie Vaquer. Stop putting her in this frickin'. Stop putting her in this, please. It's always going to be a patch. I don't find Stephanie Vaquer somewhat in any way, shape, or form. Like, she has one asset behind her, and that is literally her ass. Everything else is like mid, or I could find a million people that look just like her. And so there's nothing to separate her from the pack. And so it is a pass. Kalani Jordan. Miss double smash here for Kalani Jordan. I said in the Discord that she may get the triple double smash. We'll have to see if anybody else got it, but this is a very Kalani Jordan. Like, let's just stop for a moment and let's talk about it. Kalani Jordan is one of the perfect examples of what I guess attracts me, right? So she's athletic, but she's not super uber muscular. Like, there's still a bit of body fat on her, right? Like, I don't like the people that are super uber ripped and muscular with no body fat. And like, they can be that way. And I think I posted this in the baddie forum this week. Like, Jordan Grace is a perfect example. She's not in this contest this week, but she's a perfect example of, like, I thought Jordan Grace looked better when she was a little bit chubbier than what she looks like now, because just to me, I like a woman with a little bit of body fat on her. It makes her appear more like, I don't want to say normal, but it makes her appear like more human to me. Like, someone who spends so much time to train their body, that's great. And if Jordan Grace feels happier, and from what I understand, she feels happier now than she did when she was, a little bit, chubbier with more natural body fat. That's great for her if she wants to look the way she looks. But at the same time, I don't have to think that it's attractive in any way, shape, or form. Kalani is kind of what I would say. Like, she's a perfect example of like an athletic woman who's fit, not like super thick, not super chubby, but like she has some body fat on her that, I don't know. And the whole aura, the whole appeal, I have learned something about myself through this competition, that women with like that light caramel skin color, I'm pretty attracted to them. So, anyways, let's move on. Chris Statlander, I give her a smash as well. A light smash. I like Chris Statlander. She, again, she's like athletic, but not super muscular. Though she is muscular, she's not like, she still has natural body fat on her. And so I think she's somewhat attractive. And so I'll give her a light smash on this one. Macy Barber. All right, folks. I gave in to the exception that because TKO owns UFC and WWE, and I don't know why this photo turned out like sideways, but whatever. Macy Barber is a UFC fighter, and because TKO owns WWE and UFC, I gave in to the exception that you can post UFC females, and so that's fine. So Macy Barber, though, gets a pass. I don't know. Again, most of these decisions are like first instinct. I'm not going to do deep research into whether or not, this photo just doesn't do it for me. Maybe it's the photo, maybe not. I don't know. This photo doesn't do it for me. Let's move on. Vicious Vicky. And so here's a story on why there's two photos behind it. The one on the far right with the gray sports top was posted by somebody else in the feed. And then the one that is of her in the bikini was something I posted. And it's the same person. And so I'm going to give a double-double smash. But if I had not found that photo of myself, and it's just the photo of her at the gym, I would assume, it might have been a lighter smash. It might have just been a smash, not a double-double smash. Again, I'm not a big fan of like the... I don't know what to describe it, how to describe it as like the workout photo, LinkedIn selfie, that you can glamorize and give me something candid. Give me something like this photo at the pool that obviously somebody else took for, or she had to set up a tripod or something to take the picture for. Like, it's not just something that I don't know. Anyways, double smash for Miss Vicious Vicky. You're lucky I found the other photo and whatever, but let's keep going. Brittany Brooks, a little light smash. She's attractive, but I don't know. Not the most attractive to me personally, but she's cute, and so I'll do a smash for Brittany Brooks. We'll move on to Tekla. It's kind of the same thing. Tekla is maybe an exception to the rule that I typically don't like super uber muscular women, because she's pretty muscular. She has a pretty refined physique. But I think, I don't know what it is about her, but I find her super uber attractive, and it'll be a smash. It's not a double smash. It's not a, because there is that thing. Like, she's a smash, but she's kind of like not the top of the list of the smash in the smash category. So smash on Tekla this week. Tiffany Nieves, I like her. She's attractive. I think she wrestles in OVW, REW, some other indie scenes kind of in the Midwest. I like her. I'll give her a smash on that one. I took a lot of flack for posting this one. Miyu Amazaki, she wrestles in Stardom. I think she's attractive. And maybe it's just me. I know Wavy D is feeling the Joshi the females over from Japan. She looks like a younger version of like a Io Sky, in my opinion. So Miyu Yamazaki gets a smash. So yeah. Christina Marie, double smash for my Buffalo Bill fan. Again, I hope that she comes to Charlotte or that area, the North Carolina area, sometime soon so I can watch her match. But Christina Marie gets a double smash. Jackie Redmond got posted. And I have to pass on Jackie Redmond. I don't find her super uber anything. She's just kind of mid, in my opinion. And so I'll pass on Jackie Redmond. Plus, she's not on the show every week, is she? I don't know. I don't watch WWE product. So I know Jackie Redmond more for her NHL playoff coverage than for WWE. But anyway, we'll pass. Mara Sade, formerly known as Jakara Jackson, posing, linking to her OnlyFans page. I give her the double-double smash. She knows what she's doing. Like I said, I found out something about myself. The women with like the lighter caramel, light brown skin tone is something that is attractive to me. And Mara Sade fits that category. So give me the double-double smash. But then there's Bianca Belair. And that's a pass. Again, well, one, this picture doesn't do her justice. I'm not a fan of the sports suit vibe. But two, she's way too muscular for my liking. You can stay with Montez Ford, and you don't have to worry about someone like me taking you from him because, well, you're not my type, Bianca. I apologize. And I probably ain't your type. So we could keep it mutual there. We move to Casey Lennox. She's an indie wrestler from out of Baltimore, Maryland area. I enjoy her content. I enjoy her wrestling. I enjoy her her vibe. Casey Lennox gets the double-double smash. Ref Jess. Jessica Carr, I think is her name. Yeah, she gets the double-double pass. There's nothing attractive about her to me. The jaw structure is kind of masculine to me, and so that throws it off. Good for those who like her, but not my cup of tea. So double-double pass on Ref Jess. We got Tatum Paxley. This photo doesn't do Tatum Paxley justice for how actually a beautiful she is. I'm going to give it a smash because it's Tatum Paxley, and I have prior knowledge of how beautiful Tatum Paxley is. But if I didn't know who Tatum Paxley was, this just looks like just any random high school girl. Like, and it's a smash because of the picture, but a smash. Like it's a pass if it was solely on the picture, but because I know Tatum Paxley and how attractive she actually is, I'm going to give it a very light smash. Give me better pictures, folks. This is smash or pass, not who's the cutest. And we're going to end with a double-double smash with Red Velvet. There's no triple-double anything this week. I'm not obligated to use a triple-double, and I just didn't feel like triple-double worthy anything this week. Give me Red Velvet on the double-double smash. She can stir it up all she wants in the kitchen. And Miss Red Velvet, I love it. Give me Red Velvet on the double-double smash. All right, y'all. Let's transition to the final thing. Wanted to keep it kind of short this week because Night of Champions is at 1 o'clock, and I do want to watch it live. So I'm recording this Saturday morning, and so I'm trying to get it out before the 1 o'clock time. But I do want to spend some time talking about basic punkonomics. CM Punk and the best way that I can say it has completely sold himself out. So here's two things happened on Friday that pissed me off about CM Punk. The first thing was that, and it may have been, it may have been Friday morning our time, early Friday afternoon before SmackDown was taped over there in Saudi Arabia. But I'm not 100% sure the time frame, but sometime either Thursday night American time, Eastern time, or Friday morning Eastern time, CM Punk was at the Night of Champions like kickoff show, and one of the fans in the front row asked him to apologize for a tweet that he made, the tweet that I have been referencing for quite some time about Night of Champions in Saudi Arabia, about the Saudi show where he talked to The Miz. And CM Punk apologize. Oh, it had nothing to do with the people of Saudi Arabia. I woke up and I was in a pissy mood. And then so I just sent a random, shut the fuck up, CM Punk. Shut the fuck up. The fact that you are able to sit there with a smile on your face and that shit-eating grin and just lie to the people of Saudi Arabia for the pop and say that it had nothing to do with Saudi Arabia. Shut the fuck up, CM Punk. You are a hypocrite. You are a liar. And WWE used your hypocrisy to tell a story. And good on them for doing so, but it doesn't defeat the fact that you are a hypocrite, CM Punk. You are a hypocrite. It had everything to do with Saudi Arabia. But the fact that a little bit of money was thrown your way, because remember, and I mentioned this several times, that CM Punk said when he came back, he wasn't here to make friends. He was here to make money. And so if the money is showing up for Saudi Arabia, CM Punk is willing to do a 180. A 180 on his beliefs and just, you know, stuff it in there and just not bring up the fact of the injustices that just 6 years ago he was completely against. But nowadays, the money is coming his way, and he is totally okay with doing it. Mixed with the fact that, let's see, CM Punk pushed a fan out of the way when they landed in Saudi Arabia. Then he comes out there and apologizes to the Saudi Arabians because he was in a pissy mood, and they were the subject of a pissy mood tweet. Like, shut up, dude. It was not a pissy mood. Maybe it was a pissy mood tweet, because I seem to get the vibe that CM Punk wakes up in a pissy mood every night, every day. He's so sorry. He didn't mean it. It was just, you know, whatever. Bullshit. That's what it was. And then that already had me just furious. Like, oh, here he is. He's selling his soul again to whatever machine WWE runs. I can't say he sold his soul to the devil. I don't know what the WWE would be, but he sold his soul to the system, and now he's fake apologizing for a tweet that he made. See, here's the thing I love about someone like a Brody King. See, he stands on business. When he says something on social media, he's going to, no matter what the consequences are going to be, he's going to stand on business. He's going to stand on business. CM Punk knows if he stands up against Saudi Arabia in the WWE, he's going to face consequences, including maybe like, oh, you won't get paid, a reduced salary, reduce this. You may get suspended, you know, if you talk bad about a big, our big investment in Saudi Arabia. So CM Punk is just willing to just kind of stay silent. He's not standing on business with what he says on social media. He didn't stand on business. He's in Saudi Arabia right now. He did not stand on business. But see, someone like a Brody King, he stands on business when it's not popular. For example, like I may or may not agree with somebody's stance, right? Brody King comes out there in Mexico for an American broadcast and wears an Abolish ICE shirt. And it went viral. It literally was on Fox News. It was all on all of the major networks. And so there was this publicity that had the opportunity, because now, you know, the conservatives could shoot back. And I saw several posts about, oh, only 10 people watch AEW on some of these conservative sites. But it went viral, this Abolish ICE shirt. And Brody King stands on business. Like, he's not going to just be a social media talker. Like, he stands on business and he goes to all of these things. And so I can have respect, even if I agree or disagree with your view. If you stand on business, I can have some form of respect for you. But CM Punk is just a fraud. He doesn't stand on business when times get tough. Brody King, like, AEW could have major repercussions for how viral that moment went. And Brody King, I'm sure, and Tony Khan probably doesn't necessarily care, because there's a lot of positive press that came out of that, even much more than the negative press. I'm sure AEW doesn't really care. Like, they allow them to share that sort of engagement. But, like, Sami Zayn stands on business. Now, I don't like Sami Zayn's character. I think Sami Zayn's character is annoying as fuck. But I can respect Sami Zayn as a person because he stands on business. Now, he's been going to the Saudi shows here, right, recently, but his reason wasn't some sort of like blood money reasoning. It was more of a religious reasoning. And from my understanding, the religious thing kind of got fixed. Therefore, there's no reason for Sami Zayn not to go to Saudi anymore. So I'm cool with Sami Zayn because at least he stood on business while he had an issue with what was going on. Like, I can give respect to Sami Zayn on that point. CM Punk, his first opportunity to go to Saudi. Oh, you're in the main fucking event of the show. You're getting the biggest pay of the entire event. What a sellout. What a hypocrite. And so he shows up on Friday Night SmackDown and imitates John Cena. What would have been a bigger pop in the States and not Saudi Arabia, just to let everybody know. But he comes out here and gives off this goofball vibe, wearing the John Cena basic Thuganomics gear, the open jersey. Like, CM Punk, you are not built to rock that. Like, John Cena was built to rock it. He was a bit more muscular. CM Punk, he looked like a goofball. He had the knuckle things that John Cena used to have that Mercedes Moné wears, and it said drug free. Like, it was so goofy, so cringy. And then he does this like rap promo that John Cena used to do when he was the basic Thuganomics John Cena, but it was so bad. Like, I could barely watch it. I didn't watch it on the tape delay but I watched it on the YouTube page, and I had to comment on the YouTube channel. And I had to say, if this is what WWE has come to, I'm gonna just stick with AEW. That was so cringy. It was so goofy. Like the Cena pipe bomb stuff was pretty good, but there's a semblance there. Like, Punk pulled the pipe bomb with Cena in the ring, so Cena put a pipe bomb with Punk in the ring. And there was a correlation there. There's no correlation between John Cena and CM Punk with John Cena being basic Thuganomics that I'm aware of. So it's goofy, and it's so dumb, in my opinion. It was awful. I hated the segment. CM Punk looked like a goofball. He was the biggest goofball of the week. He's a hypocrite. And so to end the show, I'm going to just let you know. Basic Punkonomics is a crash course in hypocrisy. Basic Punkonomics teaches you to be a social media troglodyte, but not to stand on business in person. Social media troglodytes, to be someone with... what did Drake say? He mentioned Kendrick and Drake. Drake said once in one of his songs that these Twitter fingers turned to trigger fingers. CM Punk's a Twitter finger. He ain't a trigger finger. He ain't about that life in real life. Sorry, he don't stand on business, folks. He's a hypocrite. And so my goal is to enjoy watching CM Punk lose to John Cena today. I hope that's the case. But also to laugh and make fun of the hypocrisy if CM Punk wins the championship tonight or this afternoon. Let me know what you guys think. Hit that like button, comment, share, subscribe. This has been a Saturday solo episode of the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. Thank you to all of our affiliates, W Energy, WWE Shop. and StubHub. Use the link in the description. Join the Real Wrestling community on Discord, y'all. And until next Thursday, we are out. I'm Junkyard James. We'll see you next week on the live stream. Stay saucy. Beyond.